This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Amy Marks-Kors and Chris Ranji on 104.1 FM KMOX. A big day for us here. And by the way, if you're just tuning in, you've already missed the first hour of the show. We have moved up an hour. We start at 9 o'clock every day. We go from 9 until noon. And we decided that today, because of our big switch and the big day that has happened here, we want to talk to some KMOX royalty. And we have decided, we already had Joe Buck on. Bob Costas will join the show in the next hour. But right now, we go to the guest line and we talk to former St. Louis Cardinals football lineman, former analyst for Mizzou football and Blues hockey even, and Pro Football Hall of Famer Dan Dierdorf with us on KMOX. How's it going, Dan?
I am doing just fine. Congratulations on the added signal. That is big news. That's great to hear.
And it's happening here on what will be our 100th birthday. This station on Christmas Eve of this year will officially turn 100. And you were a part of a long, important history here at this radio station, Dan.
Well, I'm almost reluctant to talk about when that started.
Well, do you want us to remind you?
I'll own up to it. I'm reminded when I look at my SAG-AFTRA membership card that says that I've been a member since 1976. Yeah. And that's when I started to work at KMOX. So I've been part of the family for 49 years. I can't even hardly get that to come out of my mouth. It's as a matter of fact, I'm sorry I brought it up.
No. Well, wait a minute. I think I didn't realize that you started broadcasting before you retired playing football.
Yep. Robert Hyland wanted me to be on the air, and Bill Bidwell, the owner of the football Cardinals, was very cooperative. He didn't have a problem with it. And yes, I actually did a lot of on-air work. My last couple of years as an active player, I actually even hosted Sports Open Line while I was still a player. And you look at that today and go, oh, God, that could never happen. But if Robert Hyland wanted you to do something, you did it.
Wow, that's incredible. Did you feel like you had to monitor the opinions you were giving, or did you just go for it?
Well, you know, I'd never, you know, would criticize a teammate or anything like that. So in that regard, yes, it was. I wasn't attacking anybody, and I didn't go in there and say, you know, Conrad Dobler's been playing like crap. So I didn't know. I didn't think that was the key to success, but a lot of it was in the off season, and you know, in the spring and the summer, and when the season wasn't actually going on. And you know what? It's how I cut my teeth in the business, and I'll forever be grateful for my beginning at the Mighty Mox. It was, you know, when I look back on it, I'm sitting there in the sports office, mm-hmm. and my boss was Jack Buck, and I'm sitting there with Bob Costas. I'm sitting there with Dan Kelly. Mm-hmm. I'm sitting there with Mike Shannon, Gary Bender, Bill Wilkerson. It was extraordinary, and they were actually paying me to do it. I would have written them a check if, and it's a good thing I never mentioned
that.
No.
Yeah. The moment you say it out loud, then they'll come collecting.
Yeah, I feel safe now.
Yeah, that's right. Talking to Dan Dierdorf here on KMOX, and you know, mentioning your broadcast career, which started during your playing career, it's a pretty extraordinary thing to do, just because of all the work it takes in football to be good at football. How much work did you do during an off season when you were playing, though? But when it came to football related activities.
Oh, well, you had to stay in shape, and everybody had a different way of doing that. I found that the best thing, you know, certainly you had to lift weights, but I thought the best thing for me was I played a lot of racquetball, because if you look at what a lineman does during the course of a game, it's that, you know, short, quick, forward, backward, side to side, lateral movement, short bursts. It didn't matter how quickly I ran the 40-yard dash. I never ran 40 yards in a game unless I was chasing someone who intercepted a pass or something. So that was never important. So everybody had their own program that worked for them, and a lot of racquetball is what really worked for me.
Oh, that's nice.
Wow. Did you have a consistent racquetball partner?
Well, I had a couple teammates that I knew I was better than they were, so I always tried to play with them. And then, unfortunately, I'd find myself on the court with a guy like Roger Worley, and he would just beat my brains out. he was so quick and such a great athlete. He was on a different level than I was.
Dan Dierdorf joining us on KMOX. The first time you ever did a show here, do you remember the show specifically and what you talked about?
Well, yes, I do remember, because it's hard to forget the first time that red light comes on, the microphone, and Jim Hart and our kicker at the time, Jim Bakken. They actually had a show that they would do 1 hour on a Saturday afternoon in the off season, and they called it The Arm and the Leg. A pretty innovative, catchy little title.
I like it.
And Jim Bakken actually went on a 2 week or a 3 week vacation back to Wisconsin, where he was from. And I don't remember if it was Jim Hart. Jim Hart recommended to KMOX that maybe I be a nice substitute for Jim Bakken. And so I'm sitting in there on a Saturday afternoon with Jim Hart, and the red light comes on, and it just comes flying out. Mm. And it just, and that was pretty much the end of The Arm and the Leg.
It's too dangerous.
Yeah.
It became the beginning of Dierdorf and Art. Wow. Is what it became.
Yeah.
That's so amazing. And I know, you know, a key to being a great broadcaster is being able to talk about anything, not to mention mastery of the English language. But here you are, you know, a football player, all your experience in sports, also like a history major in college. Did that ever go into your broadcast as well, just like a wide range of interests?
Well, yeah, because I hosted Afternoon Drive for several years. So I was doing things other than sports.
Yeah.
And if you can talk, you can talk. I've always tried to tell people that I have like a I have like a 7-second loop in my brain where I know what I'm going to say 6 or 7 seconds before I say it.
Yeah.
And I can process it. I can organize it. I can get it to come out in a way that I think is coherent. And it's just I didn't learn it in school. No one taught me how to do it. It just came very naturally to me. Now, that's not to say that I didn't make mistakes. And I had wonderful mentors. The man who I owe everything to was Jack Buck. Jack and I actually, and I think it was 1984, he and I were the broadcast team for the football Cardinals on radio. And I learned so much. He would say things to me like, "Dan, you need to have like an adjective Rolodex."
Mm-hmm.
And when you use one, file it away for a while. Don't bring it back up. And he said, we were in a commercial break. And he said, you know, since the last commercial break, you used the word, and I don't remember whether it was fantastic or remarkable or something. He said, you used it 3 times. And let me tell you, that'll just drill a hole in the head of the listener. They fixate on that. And little tips like that, you know, Jack, I owe him the world.
And he's right too. And whenever you talk to an announcer, a broadcaster, they always have different words for like a pass or a throw. They don't say the same thing every time. And they literally work on stuff like that I don't think most people really think about.
Well, you have to.
Yeah.
Like Doc Emmerich had, what did he have, 93 different verbs?
Yeah,
for a pass. Doc Emmerich was a walking thesaurus.
Oh, he's brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. It's because it is a familiarity breeds contempt. And when if you get repetitive in words you use, you're just inviting someone to be critical. And you're not there to put the listener or the viewer on edge. You're there to enhance the sporting event. And that was another thing that I always tried. I saw announcers that as they aged, they started to believe they were more important than the event that they were covering. And I always knew I was never more important than the event I was covering. And I tried to maintain some semblance of humility while I was doing it.
Well, of all the broadcasting you did, you know, you get your start here in broadcasting, but then, you know, you're doing Monday Night Football, which is the pinnacle of football, really. I mean, other than the Super Bowl, but to be a Monday Night Football broadcaster, such a big deal. When you started doing games like that, it's a completely different challenge, but did it feel challenging to you to do those?
Well, you realize when you're talking that there are 50 million people listening to you. And so if you don't feel a little pressure, then you're already dead. So yeah, certainly Al Michaels gave me some great advice. When we got started, he said, "Dan, Monday night," and back then Monday night was there were seasons where we were the number one or the number two rated show on television. It was big. It was must-see TV.
Yeah.
And he said, "You're about to have the biggest bully pulpit there is in our business. And the only thing I ask you is have an opinion, tell people what's going on, but make sure you're right. It's too big of a stage, and you can be too heavy-handed to say something just that you're not convinced is right. The guys playing and the people watching deserve more than that. And he was so right. So it was I tried hard to be factual, and if I didn't know it, I didn't say it.
Well, Dan Dierdorf,
is not always the case today.
No, it is. No, you are not wrong about that. And it's awesome to talk to you today because it's an important day for us, and you are such an important part of this station and the history of it. And we thank you for giving us time. And by the way, I'm a Bears fan, so can you still play? Because we need line help.
Well, that's just at the top of the list.
Yeah, yeah. So, all right.
I don't think
they could use some line depth. So if you wouldn't mind helping out, that would be appreciated.
If you're a Bears fan, I'll close for saying, bless you, my son. Good luck.
That's beautiful.
Thank you, Dan. Beautiful. I appreciate it.
All right. Hey, have fun, guys. Thanks.
Thank you.
Pro Football Hall of Famer, former KMOXer, Dan Dierdorf with us today.
How fun is that?
Yeah,
I'm like, my face hurts from smiling.
He's good. It's a big day for us here. We are on FM. Are you listening on FM? If not, why not? 104.1. We are there now. Our Mott's Madness Pizza Tournament is ongoing. We have first round results. We're going to have second round results. The second round going up, we'll do it tomorrow. Do we want to have it going tomorrow? I think we should. And some pretty interesting results, I think, so far.
It was 64. We had four division, the pineapple and ham division, the sausage division, the pepperoni division, and the mushroom division. Correct?
Yeah. So let's go through a little bit of let's do the pineapple and ham region right now.
Okay.
Dewey's was the one seed, went up against Chuck E. Cheese.
Which was a 16.
I think Charles Chuck E. Cheese.
Entertainment Cheese.
And I believe Charles Entertainment Cheese was given a really bad hand here. I think they should have been higher than a 16 seed.
Really?
They have a band.
And a ball pit. Yeah, but you thought the band still had the gorilla. The gorilla has not been there in years. You don't know anything about Charles Entertainment Cheese.
So? Did they really get rid of the gorilla?
Yes, that was Showbiz. Because Charles Entertainment Cheese bought Showbiz.
Yeah.
And they got rid of the gorilla.
Oh.
And it was just the rat band.
The rat band. Well, Dewey's easily defeated Chuck E. Cheese, so the number one seed Dewey's has moved on to the next round. Anthonino's on the Hill defeated Farachi's. Pastaria beating Bud's. Bud's is the new place on King's Highway. Cyberg's. I never think of pizza when I think of Cyberg's. I always think wings.
At
Cyberg's, and they defeated Ami's Pizza.
This is
pretty easily
with Mason Jar. A lot of like the basketball games, right? The teams go.
Yeah,
we'd go to Cyberg's and get their pizza. I'm kind of addicted to it. It's really good.
It's
really good.
It never occurred to me.
Yeah,
it was just all wings for me. Mellow Mushroom defeating is it Faroe's?
Probably.
Is that the name of it? This was suggested by a listener.
As opposed to Ferret.
Ferret.
I think it's Faroe's.
I think it is Faroe's also. Alfonso's on the Illinois side of the river defeated the 15. I don't know how it's a 15 seed, but it beat Pantera's, who was a 2 seed.
I think Alfonso's got a low seed because of the 618.
Well, that shouldn't matter.
Well, people, you know how people are. They're unfair.
Yeah, people in the 618 matter.
No, I know they do.
Hey.
That was Matt.
Hey.
That wasn't me.
I'm sticking up for 618. And if you ever talk like that again about people in the 618, we will take you and bury your body in the steel mill somewhere.
Oh, my gosh.
There will be repercussions. How dare you?
Not all of the Cahokia Mounds are ancient. That's where you...
In the mushroom region, Katie's Pizza and Pasta, a one seed, defeats Domino's.
I'm happy about that. Katie's is really good, and it's local.
Vito's with a win over Peel. That was the 8-9 matchup, and yeah. Vito's, the 8 seed, moves on. The number 5 seed, Motortown Pizza, a victory over Sam's Pizza.
Number 13, Uncle Leo's, mm-hmm. beat number 4 seed, Cecil Whitaker's.
This was a suggestion from a couple of listeners, Nick and Elena's.
Mm-hmm.
I am not familiar with Nick and Elena's, but they won. They defeated Pizza Head.
Yeah, they did.
Nick and Elena's was the 6 seed. Fordo's Killer Pizza with a 3-14 win. Well, they were the 3 seed over the 14 seed Pasta House.
Wow.
Great pizza.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you put that on the list?
I may have put that one in there.
I was like, I don't think I've ever had Pasta House pizza.
When I go there, I get
rolls
pasta.
And the salad.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh. And pasta con broccoli. Oh.
Let me tell you something about their salad.
Yeah.
Infinitely better than Olive Garden.
Well,
infinitely
obviously.
Better.
Obviously.
But everybody obviously. Talks about Olive Garden no. with the bread and the,
No.
Give me Pasta House
the
any
Olive
day.
Garden bread is nothing compared to the Pasta House rolls.
The number 10 seed with an upset over Pieology. It is Hot Pizza Cold Beer
wow.
with a win. And Shotzi's defeated Crushed Red with 56, almost 57% of the vote. So those are two regions for us.
I've got a tie for you to settle.
Oh, no.
Montebello and Racanelli's.
Racanelli's.
And you guys can't tie either.
Not about
my ideas. Yeah. Oh, is that how this works?
Say Montebello so that we don't make any ground.
Montebello's. And the tie continues. How do we settle this?
I didn't even think about
that. Maybe people can call in or text in with what they prefer.
Please.
Yeah, you better hurry up. Text us in. 314-436-7900. Montebello's versus Racanelli's.
And I said Racanelli's because I've never been to Montebello's.
I've never been to Montebello's either.
But I know Racanelli's.
So that's what you have to do.
And then later on in the show, too, we'll get to the sausage division and the pepperoni division, which we didn't do yet.
That's Amy Marks Kors. I'm Chris Ranji. When we come back, we're going to talk to our sports fella, Matt Pauly. He's calling Cardinals baseball on 104.1 FM KMOX tonight. It is the final exhibition game before the regular season starts on Thursday. Here on 104.1 FM KMOX.
I'm shortstop Mason Wynn, and you're listening to the Chris and Amy Show on KMOX.
Yo, Paulie!
Paulie's a great name.
Yo, Paulie!
What'd you do for Paulie? Anything?
Me, Paulie! I was responsible!
Paulie, we're here because of you!
104.1 FM KMOX. It is Amy Marks Kors and Chris Ranji. We are in the middle of hour two. If you're just tuning in, yeah. Yeah, dude, you missed an hour and a half so far. The new show time is at 9 o'clock. We go until 12 o'clock.
And you know what you missed? You missed Joe Buck
yep.
and Dan Dierdorf.
But you have not yet missed Bob Costas, and you better not, because he is coming up. Chris Saliza is going to join us as well. And our current guest, it is Matt Pauly, the host of Sports Open Line. He will have the call of Cardinals baseball wow. tonight. It is a 6:05 pregame show. The Cardinals play the Memphis Redbirds in their final exhibition game before the opener on Thursday. Matt Pauly, how's it going?
It's going well. How are you guys?
You ready for some ball tonight?
Doing pretty well.
I am, yeah.
Hey, Matt, what was the last game that you called, spring training? Was it last week?
It would've been like 3 weeks ago,
because
I've been back for about 2 weeks, yeah, so
okay.
just about 3 weeks ago.
Okay, I got thrown off because I also was out of town, but I will say, sounded excellent. It was a lot of fun to listen to you.
Oh, thank you. It was
You're
fun.
Welcome.
I enjoy doing it. Yeah, and it's, you know, obviously, we're so blessed to have John, Ricky, and Klaibs, but for today, it's going to be, I get to fill in along with Benji Molina, so it's going to be a good time.
That's going to be fun. Benji is fun.
Yeah, Benji's great. So the Cardinals, they have their roster. We now know they are going into the regular season with mm-hmm. Victor Scott as their starting center fielder. And I think a lot of people kind of figured he was going to be just out because of the way the roster is constructed. But they've decided to go with him and Michael Ciani on the roster. So what are your thoughts?
Yeah, it's. I'm glad they're going with Victor Scott II. He earned it, and you should be able to go into spring training and win a job. If they say at the beginning of the spring training that indeed it's a competition, well, then it should be a competition, and clearly Scott won it. Now it creates some roster issues because they're keeping Ciani. I'm not totally sure what role Ciani has because you've got that defense first outfielder in Scott. They're now in a situation where they essentially don't have a backup shortstop. And I would contend that that is suboptimal. But the big headline here, Victor Scott II, starting opening day center fielder. I like that a lot.
So what they've told him is the job is basically his, right? So in terms of looking over his shoulder and having a bad game and thinking, I'm gonna get demoted. Is that the kind of thing he really needs to worry about?
Not right off the bat. I mean, if he has the kind of start to the season that he had last year, which I don't think he's going to have, by the way. He is a very, very, very different hitter this year compared to where he was at last year. But as long as he doesn't have that kind of start, he's the everyday center fielder for the Cardinals, absolutely.
Was it a little – I know we were talking about the Victor Scott, Michael Ciani thing and how it was – I think it might have been the Katie Wu report – believed that Victor Scott wouldn't be starting. It would be Michael Ciani. And so I know I asked you last week, like, well, then is it a tryout? Is it not a tryout? Now it's being announced that Victor Scott is starting. So all of that to say, what is all that, not drama, but was it miscommunication? Was it us taking
uncertainty?
Uncertainty, yeah, yeah, taking the Cardinals' words in a direction that they didn't necessarily mean.
No, I think that report was spot on, and I think Scott kind of said, screw it, I'm gonna show these guys that they can't take me off this roster. And he had a really strong finish to spring. So he was already putting up fantastic numbers when that report came out, and he just got better and better and better. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but as good as he was at like the halfway point of spring training, it got that much better from that point forward. So look, there was no way he could put the performance he put together and not be on the team. So I think the Cardinals saw that. So I don't know if they weren't expecting him to do that. I don't know what happened, but give all the credit in the world to Scott. He's the guy who forced himself onto the roster.
Yeah, and there was stuff that they had asked him to do that he needed to work on, and he went and did everything they asked him to do, and at least during spring training, he seems to have delivered on all that.
Yeah, and I think to me, you know, what I just mentioned about him getting better as spring went along, that's a really good sign, because if his numbers were front-loaded, that means a lot of those numbers probably would have been against guys who are not going to be in the big leagues. But we know that as spring training goes along, starting pitchers pitch deeper into games, and then that results in the relievers who are going to be on the big league roster pitching later in games, and guys who aren't going to be on the roster just not getting a shot. So what he did, he got better as the pitching got better, and that is very notable.
Hey, Matt, Sonny Gray, I believe, starting pitcher, right, on opening day, but had
kind of a
rough spring. I mean, he gave up 20 earned runs in 14 innings, got taken long a few times. Is that cause for concern?
Yeah, I think it is. And it's not major concern, because there are guys who go into spring training games and they're literally just working on things and the results do not matter at all. But I also think you have to look at some of the underlying stuff when it comes to Gray, specifically his velocity. It was down significantly, and he's got to get that back up or figure out a way to pitch differently, because he doesn't, and not that he's ever been a super velo guy, but it's been, you know, somewhat part of what he's doing. So, I think keeping a close eye on him to start the season is something that's a good thing to do.
So speaking of the rotation, they're going to go with a six-man rotation, but not right away. It'll be Steven Matz that joins at some point mid-April, correct?
Yeah, so they'll go with five. Matthew Liberatore won the fifth starter's job. And then so Matz will start the season in the bullpen, because there's all these off days. But once they get to the point in around mid-April or so, when the off days start to dry up, that's when they'll go to the six-man rotation. And we'll see how long that lasts. You know, at some point, there's going to be an injury. At some point, something's going to happen, and they're going to have to make a decision five versus six. But the plan for right now is to go with the six-man, and Matz will join the rotation here in a couple weeks, really about 3 weeks.
All right. Also, just looking at some of the key players through spring training, like Mason Wynn, they're not hitting. They're not doing great in the batter's box. So again, your level of concern going into the regular season.
Yeah, I'm torn on Wynn because we saw what he did last year and we know how good of a player he is. And he was clearly working on things in spring, especially trying to make better swing decisions. That was a big key for him. But the numbers didn't look good. We can't run away from those numbers because they just were not good at all. So I'm not trying to not answer the question. I'm definitely cognizant and aware of the situation with Mason Wynn and what he did offensively. Do I think there's the possibility that the big lights turn on and he just kind of becomes the guy that he was last year again? Yeah, I think that's a possibility, but kind of like I mentioned with Sonny Gray, at the same time, you got to leave open the possibility that it doesn't play out that way.
And Wynn has mostly been the leadoff hitter during spring. I mean, is there any concern about that? He didn't really get on base when he did have that spot last year.
Yeah, I don't like him in the leadoff spot. I think there's better options. I would choose Brendan Donovan or Lars Nootbaar in the leadoff spot before I would put Mason Wynn in there. Cardinals have used him in the leadoff spot a lot, almost all the time, and I don't know if that's because they think he's the best guy for the job or if they think that it helps develop him into that. Like, you know, development and giving the young guys runway and all that, that is still part of this season. So I don't love him in the leadoff spot. I don't think his numbers are bad. The other thing with him is I think as he continues to develop, the thing that's going to develop more for him isn't so much the on base. I think we're going to see more power from him. I think he's going to be more of an extra base guy, the occasional home run, hitting doubles. To me, that's a guy that I put a little bit lower in the order, but not the end of the world if he's in the leadoff spot.
All right, Matt Pauly, we appreciate it. Enjoy the call tonight of Cardinals baseball in Memphis, their final exhibition game. You will be on that with Benji Molina. And then we will see you back here in St. Louis for the opener on Thursday.
All right, sounds great, guys.
Yo, Pauly, your sister's with me. I'll call you back later. See ya.
That is Matt Pauly with us on KMOX. And
yes,
Amy, Thursday. You want to tell people what's happening?
Guys, it's opening day.
Mm-hmm.
It's kegs and eggs.
Mm-hmm.
It's the first pitch breakfast.
That's right.
It is the Chris and Amy show at Cardinals Nation at Ballpark Village. To be there for pretty much all of it. Again, the first pitch breakfast is not broadcast. That is the special conversation with Vince Coleman and Tom Ackerman celebrating, telling stories about the 85 Cardinals. That, I believe, you can still buy tickets to.
If you want to hear those
stories with Vince Coleman, because that's not broadcast.
Tables are still available. That's what they have, are tables for purchase for the first pitch breakfast. It goes from 8 o'clock until 10:30. There is there's breakfast that mm-hmm. will be served to you as part of the ticket price.
Bottomless mimosas,
Bloody Marys, Budweiser. Also, you will get tickets for the Saturday game.
Nice. So
nice. Right? Saturday afternoon game, they'll play against the Twins. You get tickets for that as well. This will happen at Cardinals Nation, which is on the first floor at Ballpark Village, right inside the door there. So if you're walking across from the stadium, you go right into that main entrance, you make a little left, and Cardinals Nation is right there. That's where the first pitch breakfast will be. And right now, if you go to KMOX.com/events, click on the first pitch breakfast, you can get 20% off your purchase with promo code KMOX.
And also, too, all of the tables for kegs and eggs,
those are all sold out.
So let's say you want to get a table because you've got a group of buddies, you're all going. You can still get a table for the first pitch breakfast. This is a great option for you. Hang out and have some fun.
Yeah. So like Amy said, all of the Vince Coleman stories you will get from the 1985 National League Championship team, that's all off the air stuff. Mm-hmm. So that's the good stuff. That's the stuff we can't say here. So if you want to be a part of this, Tom Ackerman is hosting. Vince Coleman will be there. KMOX.com/events. Use promo code KMOX for 20% off. That is for the first pitch breakfast. And the separate kegs and eggs event will happen at 11 o'clock. That is a completely separated, separate ticketed event.
Yep.
I think we might be sold out.
I know.
If not completely, we're very, very close.
Yeah.
So
again, if you want to be part of the event,
mm-hmm.
the tables are gone for Kegs and Eggs, but tables are available for the first pitch breakfast, KMOX.com/events. Promo code KMOX to get 20% off. You also get tickets to Saturday's game.
Oh, and don't forget the beer stein.
And it's like, I think it's the first commemorative item that says 104.1 FM.
It is.
The beer stein.
Yep.
So that's historic.
And if you didn't know,
yeah.
We're on FM now.
We are.
104.1 FM KMOX.
Well, it's time for the sausage region.
Yeah.
Sorry.
The sausage region.
Division sounds like a sick indie band name, honestly.
That's why we have to call it the sausage region
the
in
sausage.
Our Mott's Madness pizza tournament.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, so all the pizza that's available here in St. Louis, we have done an NCAA tournament style bracket.
And there are some ties, and here's what we're going to do. We're going to, after the show, post the ties on Twitter at Chris Amy KMOX.
Mm-hmm.
We'll post the ties. You guys need to be the tiebreaker because Ronge and I were the tiebreakers, and unfortunately
we tied.
Yeah. And so those will be posted today. We'll go to the next round tomorrow.
Chris Amy KMOX on Twitter. Go follow us.
In the sausage region. It's like you don't want to get hit in the sausage region, doesn't it? Sound like that?
Let me tell you right now, you absolutely do not want to get hit in the sausage region.
I accidentally hit someone in the sausage region. I talk with my arms.
Yeah, you flail a lot.
And I'm short, and this person was tall, and I
right
went
the junk.
To tell a story. Hit him in the sausage region in the middle of the road because we were walking to the restaurant, and he went down like to his knees, and I was like, are you okay? And his friends go, keep walking, don't talk to him, they're like, leave him alone. I thought he was gonna throw up in the street. Like, he was on his knees, just he was down.
Did you learn a lesson after you did
no because it happened again talking to somebody. It was a different person. But anyway, speaking of the sausage region, Union Loafers,
get a hold of yourself, lady.
Union Loafers, number one seed, defeated Papa John's by a lot. Union Loafers got almost 73% of the vote, as they should. Union Loafers is amazing. I have a loaf of Union Loafers sourdough in my kitchen right now.
Okay.
That's a nice pizza.
Hold on a second. We need to have a conversation about that's a nice pizza. Is that really the name of it?
Yeah.
It's that's a nice pizza. Dude.
When you say it like that.
That's how it's spelled.
You have to do the voice.
That's a nice pizza.
No.
What are we doing?
You're not supposed to do the voice. That's problematic.
Spelled it like you're supposed to.
And Chris Ronji, that's a nice pizza.
Oh, yeah. That's how they intended it. So some place called That's a Nice Pizza defeated Pizza Villa.
Yeah.
Pretty easily, actually. Fortell's Pizza Den with a win over Mazzio's.
Pie Guy
defeated
Pizzarelli's.
In the Grove.
Yep. I will say, I haven't been to Pizzarelli's, but I have been to Pie Guy. It's really good.
Yeah, Pie Guy is good.
Really good.
Milo's Tavern on the Hill. Milo's with a win over Afton Pizza Co.
Pizzeria del Gloria defeated Peroni's.
Yeah, Peroni's, I think, is the one that's in St. Charles or out that direction.
I heard, not a surprise. Not only was Pizzeria de Gloria a three seed, but a lot of people brought up Pizza de Gloria. Just talking about our bracket, that would be one they would go to.
I'm sorry, Peroni's is in Florissant. So I got that wrong. But La Pizza, which is Clayton, Pizza beat Bono's. Or is it Bono's?
Remember when Dan Dierdorf said, if you're not sure about something?
Yeah.
I don't think La Pizza, I don't know where La Pizza is.
Yeah,
Pizza is in Clayton.
Okay. La Pizza, I have been there. I have picked up pizza from it before. It was pretty good.
Stefanina's.
Defeated CeCe's.
By a lot. Stefanina's got almost 96% of the vote.
So that is our sausage region. And our pepperoni region, round one of the Mott's Madness tournament. Again, to vote in the subsequent rounds of this tournament, you have to go to @ChrisAmyKMOX on Twitter
only
and follow
place.
Us.
The only place.
The number one seed Emo's versus Lil Caesars. And you will not be surprised to find out that Emos has won easily and beaten the 16 seed. The 8-9 matchup is Blackthorn Pizza defeating Epic Pizza.
And this will be one of the ties that post today, later today. Racanelli's and Montebello tied.
That is the 5 versus the 12 seed.
Yep.
The 4 seed Jets Pizza against the 13 seed Pointers.
Wow.
And Pointers with a huge victory.
Crushed it.
Over Jets Pizza.
Yeah.
So Pointers moves on. Olive and Oak is the 6 seed versus Hampton Hill Pizza. Olive and Oak has won that matchup.
De Rienzo's,
the 14 seed with an upset over St. Louis Pizza and Wings.
And Filoni's,
a
10 seed,
beat
number 7 Side Project Pizza by quite a bit. Filoni's got 82% of the vote, but I think Side Project Pizza is relatively new, so maybe a lot of people haven't been there.
And the 2 seed Guido's on the Hill obviously defeated Pizza Hut, and I'm a little stunned it's this close.
Pizza Hut got 29%.
How did they get 29% of the vote?
You can't out Pizza the Hut.
Guido's did defeat Pizza Hut as the 2 seed over the 15 seed. Guido's advances to the next round. We will do the tiebreakers first, as Amy mentioned, so you have to go to @ChrisAmyKMOX on Twitter and follow us, and then we will have the 3 matchups that you need to vote for those tiebreakers, and then we'll move on to round 2 soon enough for you. It is Amy Markscores and Chris Ranji. Final hour of the show. We're on 9 to noon now here on 104.1 FM KMOX. We're going to talk to Bob Costas next.